ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. So Siddhartha Prabhu asked me to give a little seminar. I'm here today and tomorrow morning on the nature of the sound or transcendental sound. The title of the seminar, which I gave some time ago, is the Liberation by Sound. And it's coming or stemming from one verse and purport by Srila Prabhupada from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I will read this verse and the purport and then try to explain what it entails. Tamasaccha vikurvanat bhagavat viryachoditat sabdamatram abhutasman nabhasrotram tu sabdagam. Tamasat, from ego, in ignorance. Cha, and vikurvanat, undergoing transformation. Bhagavat virya, by the energy of the Supreme Lord. Choditat, impelled. Shabdamatram, the subtle element sound. Abhut, was manifested. Tasmat, from that. Nabha, ether. Shrotram, the sense of hearing. To, then. Shabdagam, which catches sound. Translation. When egoism in ignorance is agitated by the sex energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the subtle element sound is manifested. And from sound come the ethereal sky and the sense of hearing. Purport. It appears from this verse that all the objects of our sense gratification are the products of egoism in ignorance. It is understood from the verse that by agitation of the element of egoism in ignorance, the first thing was produced, sound, was sound, produced was sound, which is the subtle form of ether. It is stated also in the Vedanta Sutra that sound is the origin of all objects of material possession, and that by sound one can dissolve that material existence. Anavriti Shabdat means liberation by sound. The entire material manifestation began from sound, and sound can also end material entanglement if it has a particular potency. The particular sound capable of doing this is the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna. Our entanglement in material affairs has begun from material sound. Now we must purify that sound in spiritual understanding. There is sound in the spiritual world also. If we approach that sound, then our spiritual life begins, and the other requirements for spiritual advancement can be supplied. We have to understand very clearly that sound is the beginning of the creation of all material objects of our sense gratification. Similarly, if sound is purified, our spiritual necessities are also are produced from sound. It's a very significant statement. Actually, every sentence is very significant. Similarly, if sound is purified, our spiritual necessities also are produced from sound. Here it is said that from sound the ether became manifested, and that the air became manifested from ether. How the ethereal sky comes from sound, how the air comes from sky and how the fire comes from air will be explained later on. Sound is the cause of the sky, and sky is the cause of Shrotram, the ear. The ear is the first sense for receiving knowledge. One must give oral reception to any knowledge one wants to receive, either material or spiritual. Therefore, Shrotram is very important. The Vedic knowledge is called Shruti. Knowledge has to be received by hearing. By hearing only can we have access to either spiritual or material enjoyment. In the material world, we manufacture many things for our material comforts simply by hearing. They are already there, but just by hearing, one can transform them. If we want to build a very high skyscraper, this does not mean that we have to create it. The materials for the skyscraper, wood, metal, earth, etc., are already there, but we make our intimate relationship with those already created material elements by hearing how to utilize them. Modern economic advancement for creation is also a product of hearing, and similarly, one can create a favorable field of spiritual activities by hearing from the right source. Arjuna was a gross materialist in the bodily concept of life and was suffering from the bodily concept very acutely. But simply by hearing, Arjuna became a spiritualized Krishna-conscious person. Hearing is very important, and that hearing is produced from the sky. By hearing only, we can make proper use of that which already exists. The principle of hearing is to properly utilize preconceived materials, is applicable to spiritual paraphernalia as well. We must hear from the proper spiritual source. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tamasa chavi kurvanat bhagavat virya choditat shabda matram abhut asman nabham shrotram tu shabdagam. When egoism and ignorance is agitated by sex energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the subtle element sound is manifested, and from sound comes the ethereal sky and the sense of hearing. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Goravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vachapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ajanu Lambita Bujokana Kavadata Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Daksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Pala Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Avataro Yam Pravrajanta Manupeta Mupeta Kritim Dvaipayanam Virahakatara Juhava Putreti Tanmayataya Taravo Binedustam Sarva Bhuta Hridayam Munimana Tosmi. Okay. So it's an amazing purport by Srila Prabhupada, where he explains how the spiritual world is coming from the sound, or is based on the sound. And all the spiritual necessities in this life, which we may have, are created by the sound. And as much as this is true for the spiritual reality, the same is true for material reality. Srila Prabhupada explains that everything is stemming from the sound in this material world, and the sound is the source of material enjoyment for us. And the crux of the spiritual life is how to reverse the process. And this beautiful verses of Srimad Bhagavatam Kapila Dev explains how this material creation is taking place, but Srila Prabhupada hints that you can reverse the process of the material creation on your individual level and more or less withdraw the material world and transfer yourself to the spiritual reality or spiritual world. And as much as the material world is created by sound, and we get entangled in this material world through sound and by sound, in the similar way, we can reverse this process through the spiritual sound. Basically, this is the gist of what Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport, but I will try to elaborate this. Prabhupada is explaining in a very simple terms how to do this. Because I am a much more complicated person, I will try to complicate you into the, into the subtleties of these concepts. Because behind this simple sutras of Srila Prabhupada in the purport, there is a very great science. Science of Vedic sound, which we can be very much benefited if we understand how it works. So today I will mostly speak about the material science and the material sound and how the world is being created from the sound and how all our necessities are supplied by the sound. But before I do this, the title of the seminar is coming from Srila Prabhupada's translation of the last sutra of Vedanta Sutra, Anavritih Shabdat, Anavritih Shabdat. This is the very last sutra or the conclusion of the whole treatise on Vedanta, on the whole spiritual science, Anavritih Shabdat. And Srila Prabhupada explains liberation by sound, liberation by sound. Of course, literally, and most of the commentators of Vedanta Sutra translated slightly differently. And first, I would like to read purport of Ramanuja Acharya to this sutra. Because ultimately, I will read it first and then try to explain why. So this is the purport of Ramanuja Acharya to the last sutra of Vedanta Sutra. Anavritih Shabdat, Anavritih Shabdat. Literally it means non-return according to scripture. Shabdat is an ablative case. Ablative case means from the scripture or from Shabda, from the sound. What comes from the sound? Anavriti. Anavriti means non-return. You don't come back. So, or, in other words, you get liberation, you transfer yourself to the spiritual realm. And Ramanuja Acharya gives a beautiful explanation how it takes place, how the return or salvation, liberation through the sound takes place, or from the Vedas takes place. It's, it's not so long, but please try to bear my Russian accent and understand what he has to say. We know from scripture that there is a supreme person whose nature is absolute bliss and goodness, who is fundamentally antagonistic to all evil, who is the cause of the origination, sustenance, and dissolution of the world, who differs in nature from all other beings, who is all-knowing, who by his mere thought and will accomplishes all his purposes, and who is an ocean of kindness, as it were for all who depend on him, who is all-merciful, who is immeasurably raised above all possibility of anyone being equal or superior to him, whose name is the highest Brahman. And with equal certainty, this is what we know from scriptures, and this is how the liberation takes place. This knowledge of about this supreme person who is all merciful, all blissful, and the purest of all gives liberation. This sure knowledge or the faith which is coming from the scriptures is actually the seed of our liberation. And he also hints to the same point which Prabhupada makes, whose name is the highest Brahman. And with equal certainty, we know from scripture that this Supreme Lord, when pleased by the faithful worship of his devotees, which worship consists in daily repeated meditation on him, assisted by the performance of all practices prescribed for each caste and ashrama, frees them from the influence of nations, which consist of karma accumulated in the infinite progress of time and hence hard to overcome, allows them, the same Supreme Person, allows them to attain to that supreme bliss, which consists in the direct intuition of his own true nature, and after that does not return them back into the miseries of samsara. In other words, Ramanuja Acharya says that first, how liberation takes place, you know that there is Supreme Person. And who is the Supreme Person? He is all blissful and he describes all these qualities. Then he says what he does. He says that if you take shelter of the Supreme Person, then he will finish all your karma. No matter how much karma you accumulated through your infinite progress of time, he will take you back and he will not allow you to come back to this material world of samsara, of this miseries of samsara. The text distinctly teaching this is, he who behaves thus all his life through reaches the world of Brahman and does not return, Kathu Upanishad. And the Lord himself declares, having obtained me, great souled man, do not come into rebirth, the fleeting abode of misery, for they have reached the highest perfection. Up to the world of Brahma, return again, Arjuna, but having attained me, O son of Kunti, there is no rebirth. What are these verses? Who knows? Mamu Petya Punardam Janma? Yeah, okay. 8, 15 and 16. As moreover, the liberated soul has freed itself from the bondage of karma, has its powers of knowledge fully developed, and has all its being in the supremely blissful intuition of the highest Brahman, is evidently cannot desire anything else, nor enter any other form of activity, and the idea of its returning into samsara, therefore, is altogether excluded. In other words, the liberated soul is already free from karma, so there is no reason for the liberated soul to come back. Nor indeed need we fear that the Supreme Lord, when once having taken to himself the devotee, who he greatly loves, will turn him back into samsara. For he himself has said, to the wise man I am very dear, and dear he is to me. Noble indeed are all these, but the wise man I regard as my very self, for he with soul devoted seeks me only as his highest goal. At the end of many births, the wise man goes to me, thinking all is Vasudeva. Such great soul men are rarely met with. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlaba. Anyway, so Ramanuja Acharya explains the reason why it is emphatically stated at the end of Vedanta Sutra why there is no return. But he also hints how the liberation through sound takes place. It in itself, this quote in itself is encouraging. We have to really suffer through our spiritual life here and return to the blissful life of of spiritual world. And there is assurance in the scriptures. You just have to make it. You have to make it. How to make it is the subject matter of this seminar. So, and at the end of the seminar, I will explain a little more why this purport is so important and what is the meaning of this. So, in any case, I will try to liberate. How can somebody who is in bondage liberate anyone? But I will try to elaborate a little bit on this idea, which is there in this purport of Srila Prabhupada, to Bhagavatam verse. This sound is very important in spiritual life. Once I was attending a conference in New York in the United Nations. And this was interreligious conference. Somehow or other I snacked in under some Hindu garb. I was a part of Hindu delegation from India. It was in 2000, after millennium or before millennium, I don't remember. And different religious leaders, they came. And they were trying to, you know, meet some common ground. And there was no chance for them to meet any common ground. One Japanese journalist asked me in the beginning of this conference, he wanted to ask, you know, some interview, and he said, what do you expect from this conference? I expect from this conference that finally people who come understand that they worship one God, God is only one. And this Japanese, he made his eyes big, you know, as much as Japanese can do it, you know. So he made his eyes little roundish. And then he said, you know, you expect that everyone will accept that there is only one God, but we're Buddhist. We don't accept God at all. There is no God. So, I mean, there is very little common ground. And you could very clearly see it. Some people were polite when they were making their presentations, and some people were really rude. You know, one Christian lady, she climbed on the stage and started yelling from the top of her lungs, you know, there is only Jesus and only Jesus, and you have to surrender to Jesus, otherwise you go to hell. So that much dialogue went on. But what was interesting in the presentation, I was watching because this Japanese journalist, he made me a little thoughtful about the whole futility of this dialogue. So I was really trying to find the common ground among all these different religious, you know, beliefs and concepts and different religious leaders and representatives of them. And there were really, you know, wide variety. There were Christians, there were Muslims, there were Hindus, and there were some, you know, African tribes with huge, you know, drums. And there was, you know, some indigenous Indians from America. I mean, it was really zoo, you know, really very funny kind of scene. But I was really sincerely trying to find what is common, what is the common thing they all believe. And I did find one thing. What I found, that everyone, before starting his or her presentation of the religious belief, they made some funny sounds. You know, somebody was, you know, blowing the conch, somebody was, you know, banging the drum, you know, and somebody was, you know, doing this Allah bar, and somebody was doing some other sound. You know, Everyone, without any exception, as an introduction to the presentation of how his or her religion can help liberate the soul, would make some sound, which is the symbolic connection with the Lord. And ultimately, this is the significance. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Ultimately, this is a very ancient the science of sound, how you can make connection between the soul and God through sound. And of course, the Vedic science is the champion of this. The whole Vedic culture is primarily sonic culture, audio culture, as opposed to the modern culture. The modern culture is mostly video culture, you know, all this obsession of video thing. It's coming from the atheism, because when people are atheists, the first thing which they ask you, please show me God. They believe their eyes too much. Anyway, this is a topic for the separate seminar, how different cultures manifest and how the ideas of different culture manifest and the realities of the culture. But basically, Vedic culture, being a spiritual culture, stresses very much the importance of the sound. And the science of sound is elaborately developed in the Vedas, starting from the original Vedas. And from the beginning, I will again read one sentence from the purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th chapter, 17th verse, where he gives a hint of how the creation of this world through sound takes place. Because the first statement which Prabhupada makes, he says that all the material necessities of life are being created through sound. Incidentally, this is a very modern concept. If we take quantum mechanics, which is the perhaps the most profound science of the modern age, then the modern quantum mechanics states that behind all the objects there is a wave function. Ultimately, they agree with this statement that the first element is the wave in the ether, sound. And ultimately, all the gross elements or gross things which we have are the sounds. This is the statement of quantum mechanics, that ultimately this is sound, this is nothing but sound. That you can describe everything which is there, like, for example, this microphone, by, composing a certain wave function, because the basis of this microphone is nothing but the vibration in the ether. And this is the, cutting edge modern science. But this so-called modern achievement is there in the Vedas, because the Vedas state exactly the same. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a very interesting hint how this material world has been created, how the gross objects of this material world, the objects of our desire, which everyone is obsessed of, which everyone is trying to get the possession of and try to enjoy with, so how they were created. He explains this, and I will explain little later, because this is little mysterious and enigmatic, but I will just quote Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur from his purport. Prana, impregnated with nada, paravak, he, the Supreme Lord, enters Muladhara Chakra of Brahma, the cave. Then he enters Manipura Chakra as Pashyantivak, then Vishuddhi Chakra as Madhyamavak, and then he reveals himself from the mouth of Brahma as Vaikarivak, as Udata, Anudata, Svarita, and consonants, different sounds of the Vedas. Of course, you understood everything. But this is just to give you a little idea how complicated this science is. It's a real science, and it's a very interesting science, and it's a very rewarding science if we try to understand this. So I will elaborate and explain this statement of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which is indeed very interesting. So basically, this concept that the sound creates is there in the Vedas, in the original Vedas, in Rig Veda. And in Rig Veda it is said that the Vak is the original energy of the Supreme Lord. Vak Shakti is the primary energy of the Supreme Lord, spiritual energy of the Supreme Lord. And in this material world, it is stated in the Vedas, it manifests in four parts. In Rig Veda it is said that there is Chatvari Vak, or four parts of the speech. Vak means speech. Vak means sound. And this is the primary energy of the Lord. And it is said there in Rig Veda that this Chatvari Vak, the speech is divided into four parts. And it is said there in Rig Veda that those who are wise know this. Three parts, which are hidden, mortals do not activate. The fourth part, they speak. In other words, Rig Veda says that when you speak, you can hear only one fourth of what is really taking place. That the energy which is behind this has, complete energy, and the three fourths is hidden. And only very wise people know everything which is taking place. So now I will explain what is this four part of the speech or four part of the sound. That the sound which we hear is only the top of the tip of the iceberg. And this is the very beginning. And through this we can try to understand, how the Vedic science works. Basically, we know that the original sound which has created this world is the sound Om. It is emphatically stated throughout Srimad Bhagavatam and throughout other Vedic literature, this Om is the origin of this creation. Om is the original vibration. And it is explained in the Vedas that there are four parts in this sound Om. First is what? A, and then U, and then M, and then Bindu. It basically works like this. Om. So this M and then vibration, which is beyond it, is Bindu. So there are four parts. Remember, there is this four parts in the sound, and these four parts are symbolically represented into the sound Om. A, U, M, and Bindu. And basically, this is the replica of the whole creation is there in the sound. We know, we always say that there are three worlds. These three worlds is Bur, Buvah, and Svah. And there is spiritual world, Vaikuntha. So these four parts of the sound, Om, correspond to Buh, or the gross material creation, Buvah, which is mental creation, which is the creation of because the heavenly planets are on this of this mental plane, and then the Svah, this is the plane of intelligence, and then there is Vaikuntha. Again, there are four parts of the speech. There is four parts of the sound Om, and there is four worlds, including spiritual worlds, and. We can see from this principle of samasti and vyasti, this principle is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, that whatever is there in macrocosm is there in microcosm. We, our body, is the replica of the universe. And according to this science, we have the same constituents of our body. And the same constituents of our body, the same four parts of our body, is the gross body, which is called in Sanskrit stula sharira, stula deha. The gross body which we love so much, which is the dearmost object of our adoration and worship, is only one fourth part, which is basically revealed to everyone. But then besides stula sharira, there is sukshma sharira, sukshma deha, the subtle body, or mental body. Then there is karana sharira or karana deha. Karana deha means causal body, which is the body of intelligence or the subtle part of our thing. And ultimately there is siddha deha or our spiritual body. So again, there is this four parts of our body, bodily constitution is also there. And accordingly, there are four parts of the sound, which is the most important and which is the topic of our little discussion today. There is gross sound, mental sound, then the sound on the level of intelligence, and this transcendental sound, or paravak. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions these four parts of the sound in his purport or in his explanation how the creation takes place. Please bear with me. You will very soon understand everything, I hope. So, in the Vedas it is explained that the gross sound which we hear and which we usually call sound is only one fourth part of the sound, and it's called Vaikarivak. Vaikarivak basically means the familiar to all of us sound which we hear all the time. Which corresponds to the gross body, which corresponds to the also waking stage of our existence, Jagrata. So this is Vaikarivak. Then there is sound which we also all familiar with. Also material part of the sound. This is mental sound. Before we speak, there is some subtle sound or some sound within our brain. You know, somebody is speaking there, blah, 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 blah. And only we hear this sound. You know, some people who become a little more subtle, then they can hear this sound from others. They can read the thoughts, you know. And it's probably very kind of not a very funny. You know, I knew one man who developed this mystical potency of reading other thoughts, and he said, since that time, my life has become very miserable because I know what people think. And it's become much more contaminating for me to be in this environment. But anyway, the idea is this is called Madhyam Vak. And Madhyam Vak is basically the sound of our thoughts. And it's still quite gross. And you can hear this when you become a little more subtle yourself. You can hear what some other people think and what is going on there. And it also has the form of the sound. Then, and it is, it corresponds to the second stage of existence, which is called Svapna, or dreaming state, the mental state, which also corresponds to, you know, the creation of this material world with this, you know, buvach, the second part of the existence. Then there is very interesting part of the speech which is called Pashyanti Vak. And Pashyanti Vak, Pashyanti basically means that which is seen. Beyond the mental speech, beyond the mental sound, there is the sound, or even more subtle form of the sound, which can be seen. And this is the sound of ideas. And this Pashyanti Vak, it's basically the idea or subtle image which comes first. When you speak, basically you speak something which you think. But when you think, before you think, there is the idea. There is a very primordial state of the sound, which is like germ, like little, you know, embryo of the sound. And this is called Pashyanti Vak. And this is the subtlest material form of the sound. Basically, what is explained here is that the creation takes place through the stages, from subtle to more gross. And whatever we see first comes in the form of idea. For example, if we see some creation, like this computer, you know, how this computer took its gross shape. This computer took gross shape because somebody get this brilliant idea, this image. I want to have something which, you know, which imitates the functions of the brain, you know, some kind of extension of my own brain. So this kind of not elaborate but visible idea has to come in your mind before the creation takes place. And this is what is called Pashyanti Vak in Vedic science. Then this Pashyanti Vak, in the next stage of being more gross creation, has to be elaborated on the level of mental creation through the Madhyama Vak, through the sound of our thoughts, through the mental creation. So this idea has to be transformed into all the formulas, all the, you know, different connections between different parts. You know, you just take this idea, but the idea was first, and then you elaborate and you kind of get closer and closer and closer what this idea really means. So on the level of this mental speech, on the mental vak or Madhyama Vak, you get this mental creation of this computer, and then only it takes the gross shape. So it is explained in the Vedas that these three parts of the sound have particular types of energy or shakti invested into each part of the sound. that Vaikarivak or gross sound is the carrier of Kriya Shakti or creative energy. And Prabhupada explains how it works. Once he was going in Manhattan, and there are skyscrapers in Manhattan. And Prabhupada stopped near skyscraper, and he asked, you know, what was the origin or the beginning of this skyscraper? And somebody said that the bricks, and somebody said that the earth, and somebody said something else. And Prabhupada said, no, the origin of this skyscraper was the sound, because people started talking about this skyscraper. And he explains the same idea in the purport, which I read, that before anything takes place, before this Kriya Shakti is getting activated, you have to pronounce it. And in the speech, when you speak, this Kriya Shakti is invested, and this has the potency of creating that gross creation. So this is the part of the sound which we all know with Kriya Shakti or the creative energy. Then in the Madhyamavak or in the mental speech, in the mental sound, there is Jnana Shakti or the energy of knowledge. Because when the thoughts are crossing our mind, the Gyan, or the energy of knowledge, is invested into the thoughts, basically. It's simple. Everyone can understand this. And then the most interesting, this Pashyanti Vak, or the intelligence, or the idea behind everything, the Vak, or speech, the sound, which is behind all material creation, in this creation, the Ichha Shakti is invested. Ichha Shakti is what? The energy of what? The energy of desire. The energy of desire. So this is how the gross creation takes place. First you have desire. And the desire takes shape of the image. You know, all the great creations which are there, first there was the seed of the desire behind this. And the seed of the desire grew into the image. I want this. This is what I want. This is what I need. This is how I can satisfy my material desires. And then in this way, the intelligence works. The intelligence gets the direction, and the intelligence gives the direction to the mind. And the mind, getting the direction from the intelligence in the form of desire or in the form of this Pashyanti Vak, the subtle sound, subtle order, the intelligence transmits this to the mind. And says, you please figure out how to achieve this goal. You get this image, you get this desire, you get this brilliant idea. I want to fly. I want to fly in the sky. You know, this is just some image, some order. Then the order is being transmitted or communicated to the mind, and mind becomes agitated. And when the mind agitated, this subtle Madhyama Vak or mental Vak starts going on, crossing our thoughts, and we start figuring out how to fly in the sky, you know, and you basically get it, you know, and then you start speaking about it, and sure enough, very soon you're flying into the airplane. Very simple. First there is desire with Ichha Shakti, which takes the shape of the image or idea. And then, of course, there is this fourth part of the sound, which is called Paravak, or transcendental sound. And to the transcendental sound, there is the transcendental energy, which is invested in the transcendental sound, Chit Shakti. So Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Ichha Shakti, and Chit Shakti, they correspond to this fourth parts of the sound, and they correspond to the four parts of the creation, they correspond to the four parts of our body, and so on and so forth. And incidentally, there are four spiritual disciplines. There is karma yoga, and karma yoga is for what? It's gross. Karma yoga is very gross. It's for gross material kind of, you know, necessities. And then there is jnana yoga. And then there is Ashtanga Yoga, which basically manipulates your desires. And then there is Bhakti Yoga, which is transcendental. Anyway, there is a very deep spiritual significance of this seemingly or apparently theoretical description. And I will get into it tomorrow when we will speak about the spiritual significance of what it means for us. Because in reality, what we are trying to do, we all know how to use material sounds. The process of creation, which I just described, is more or less known to every one of us. We get the idea. The intelligence is being agitated. The agitated intelligence agitates our mind. Agitated mind creates a plan how to achieve the goal. And then this plan is being executed through Kriya Shakti, through the, you know, material sound or material manipulation which we have. The material science we know. And basically, if we know it on a more subtle level, we can use it or we can utilize it in a better way. Actually, I was reading recently one article about Sanskrit. And as you all know, Sanskrit is the science of sound. It's the most perfect language. And the person was sharing his experience of learning Sanskrit. He said that the Sanskrit gives you the precise way how to pronounce different sounds. And this is basically the discipline or the culture. From the very beginning, you are being taught in Gurukuls. In the Gurukuls, the main thing which you have to know is how to pronounce sounds properly. It's also interesting that the familiar to all of you word mlecha, which describes all of us, especially those who live in England. And I'm not being, I'm not exaggerating, it's true, because the word mlecha is coming from the verbal root, from the verb mlich, which means to make strange sounds. Basically, mlecha means somebody who is just mumbling something. Mlecha means mumbler, you know, somebody who is somebody who cannot pronounce good sounds, somebody who is really not clear in his speech, who has this accent. So this is mlechas. Mlechas are those uncultured people, those who cannot speak in a cultured way. And cultured way is a special kind of speech where whatever you speak is very precise. You know exactly, you know, how to produce this sound or that sound. So the person who is describing his experience about learning Sanskrit, he said, when I learned Sanskrit from these phonetics, and phonetics, Shiksha is the first discipline. This is the first supplementary discipline which everyone has to learn to know spiritual science. So he says, when I learned how to pronounce all the sounds, I found that my mind became much more clear. It had a very powerful effect upon my mind because, and the pattern of thoughts changed through this, and so many other things changed through this because the sound had an effect upon my mind. So basically, this material science it's a very powerful and a very interesting science. The Vedas are mostly material. All this science is there to fulfill our material desires. And in the Vedas, there is this description of how to use this science of the sound to fulfill your material desires through mantras. Karma Mimamsa, or Purva Mimamsa, explains this. And they say that basically the only thing which you need to do, the only thing which you need to know to fulfill all your desires is you have to pronounce sounds properly. You have to achieve the purity of your speech. And this pure speech is this sound formulas or mantras which you produce in a certain way through the certain ritual, and by producing this, you will get whatever you need. The science of spiritual sacrifice is basically the science of sound. You do the sacrifice, and you have certain desire, and your desire is being fulfilled through the sacrifice, through the media of the sound. You pronounce certain, you know, mantras in a proper way, and because you cannot do this, you hire brahmanas who pronounce it for you. And the brahmanas are those who can pronounce it properly. Like, for example, in Mahabharata, there is a description of how one king, his name was Ashtaka, as far as I remember, wanted to have a viman. And basically, he engaged some brahmanas, and brahmanas, they know this science. And at one point of the sacrifice, they pronounced this, mantra with viman in it, with the sound viman, and viman appeared there. Because this is how all the material objects are created, and this is what we can see even now. It is explained that the whole material world is being created by Lord Brahma just by pronouncing the words. Baladev Vidyabhushan explains in purport to Vedanta Sutra how Brahma creates the gross creation. He says that Brahma just sits there and he pronounces certain vibrations. And when he pronounces this, the gross creation takes place. So the Vedic science is about this, how to pronounce it properly. It is said in this purport by Baladev Vidyabhushan that reciting the word Ete from the Vedas, Lord Brahma created the Devas. Reciting the word Ashrigram, he created human beings. Reciting the word Indava, he created Pitas. Reciting the word Tirah, Pavitram, he created planets. Reciting the word Asuva, he created songs. Recited the word Vishvani, he created mantras. Reciting the word Abhisaubhaga, he created all other creatures. So this is how he creates. The Brahma, the original engineer, is sitting there on his lotus flower and he just recites certain mantras. And the creation, poops, takes place. And the Vedic science, the sacrificial science, is all about this. You create certain vibration in the ether, and ultimately your desire is being fulfilled through this vibration. It may appear immediately, or it may appear after some time, but it will appear. You create the seed of what you want in the ether, and ultimately it will take the gross shape. There is an interesting confirmation of this. There was one folklore group, and they were, going around and traveling around Russia, and they were collecting all these ancient songs from the villages when people were, creating these songs. And then they told, I was there. They presented different songs, and they said, we were doing it for fun. We didn't really believe in it. But then we collected different songs or incantations which you are supposed to pronounce when you want, for example, rain. And they said, inevitably, wherever we would sing this song, the rain would come. He said, we couldn't believe it. Then they created certain, they collected or found, picked up some incantation, how to become pregnant. They said, ever since our leading vocalist started singing this song, she is always pregnant. She cannot perform anymore because she's doing this sound and it takes place, it takes shape. Basically this is what it is, this science of material enjoyment has the subtle basis, the subtle foundation. And the subtle foundation is sound. This is exactly what Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport. Through the sound, you can obtain and you can achieve anything you want. And there is a very interesting also quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which will be one of some of the concluding points of this part of the seminar. How he explains what is taking place in this material world. What I want to say is that in this material world, we are more or less trying to manipulate the gross sound to fulfill our material desires. And the sound is equipped by the Supreme Lord with different energies which allow us to do this. But as a result of this, we are getting entangled, as Prabhupada explains. The result of this is nothing but entanglement in this material creation, and we are aggravating our situation in this material world more and more and more. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is in a very beautiful way, explains this. Very beautifully explains this. This is his purport to the last verse of the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains three weaknesses of the heart, which are being developed by the conditioned living entity through in the time of his sojourn through this material world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, during the sadhana stage of bhakti yoga, the three great anarthas, unwanted things, are to be removed by the power of sadhu sangha and by surrendering to the limbs of Shuddha Bhajana. The jiva's first weakness. In other words, you know why I want to conclude this. We have this material science, which we are somewhat familiar. It's more gross now, but the basis of the science is the same. In the Vedas, there was perfected subtle science of how to get you entangled. How you can be entangled in this flowery, you know, words of the Vedas, how the Vedas will promise you this and that, how you can all your desires can be fulfilled. And this is the material science which is there, and it is created by the Lord to fulfill our desires. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us the hint how to reverse this process, because we are about here to learn about the spiritual science. And spiritual science is exactly this, how to reverse this process, how to change the sound, the nature of the sound, from the entangling nature of the sound to liberation. And he says, again, I will read again. During the sadhana stage of bhakti yoga, the three great anarthas, unwanted things, are to be removed by the power of sadhu sangha and surrendering to the lips of sadhana bhajana, shuddha bhajana. The jiva's first weakness of the heart is the desire to enjoy maya. By misusing the freedom which was bestowed upon him in his pure stage by Bhagavan. Later on, while wandering in the material world, he developed his second weakness of the heart, which is the mental attachment to the sense objects. Among these weaknesses of the heart, Hridayador Balya, attachment to the material world, is the third anartha. All other anarthas are generated from these three weaknesses of the heart. In other words, I mean, it's a tremendously important for every one of us statement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this process of entanglement. And he says the process of entanglement has three stages. First, you misuse your freedom, which is given to you in a pure stage by Bhagavan. By the way, the statement of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a proof of the fall down theory of jiva, which some people don't believe. Because he says that by misusing the freedom which was bestowed upon him in his pure stage by Bhagavan. So Bhagavan gave us the freedom in a pure stage. Basically, originally we are pure. It's not that we are originally contaminated by this desire to enjoy. Originally we are given this freedom. But by misusing the freedom, we develop the first anartha, which is desire to enjoy maya. We develop this first desire to lord over maya, to become the lord ourselves, to be independent ourselves. And this is the first anartha, the seed of all other problems. And then what happens after that, when the living entity, in his pursuit or in his attempt to enjoy or lord it over the material energy, material creation, comes here, he develops a more gross attachment to the sense objects. On the mental plane, on the mental level, you get the attachments to sound, you get the attachments to smell, you get the attachment to taste. You know, it's all mental, because the enjoyment takes place in the mind. So the second stage is exactly the same stage of the sound. You know, first you have this subtle desire with Ichha Shakti, which is coming from this subtle sound. So the first anartha, or the first problem, is coming from this, from the subtle sound. Then on the mental plane, you get attachment to the, you know, objects of this world, to the sense objects. And then ultimately, the third anartha is that you become attached to the position of this material world altogether. Basically, this is the three stages, which also correspond to the three stages of the material sound. First, there is the subtle sound on the level of intelligence with the idea or desire to lord it over, which agitates my intelligence. Then my mind is agitated by the desire to enjoy different sense objects and a subtle form within the mind. And then you get totally bound in this material world. You just don't want to leave it. This is my place. I want to stay here. And this is what it is. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says at the end of this, all other anarthas, all other unwanted things, all other dirty things within our mind, within our heart, are generated from these three weaknesses of the heart, which are basically also coming or stemming from the same concept which I'm trying to describe now. And then he will explain later, and I will do it tomorrow, how to reverse the process or how to get rid of these weaknesses of the heart, again, through the sound, by reversing this. And in the end, I just wanted to tell you a little story which illustrates this point of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Very interesting story and very instructive story as well. Somebody wrote me a letter where he described this his life story, more or less. He said that his mystical experience which he had. Interesting. He was a bhakta, and he was very sincere, as usually bhaktas are. When they become senior devotees, they somehow or other lose the sincerity. And it also has a very scientific explanation, which I will touch tomorrow. It's actually, it should be like this. It's a bona fide process. Anyway, this bhakta was extremely sincere. And he was praying to the Lord. And he had this very ardent desire, you know, I really want to see you, I really want to be with you, I really want, you know, he was really, 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 really sincere. He said at one point, he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He said, you know, all of a sudden, something mystical happened. You know, the material world disappeared, basically, and I felt that somebody is just near me. And, you know, I started crying, and, you know, everything, you know, he says, I don't know how many. Then later I understood that there was 3 hours of this mystical experience which was there. And, you know, there was all kinds of different things which were there taking place in his body and this and that. And then some voice, which he can hear very clearly, asked him. And he said, I don't know where this voice was coming from, whether it was coming from outside or from inside. It was an impression that it's coming both from inside and outside, but it was all-pervading voice. And this voice asked me, are you ready to give me the dearmost things which you have? And he became a little afraid. And he started mumbling something. Yeah, yeah, what do you want? What do you want to take from me? You know, and he started kind of listing within his mind what he has, you know, what he wants to take. Shall I give this or shall I give that? And then the voice said, no, I don't want this. He said, I want your pride. Are you ready to give me this? And I want your, you know, basically kama, krodha, loba, mada, moha, and matsarya. And then his first and immediate reaction was no. Because when he kind of imagined that how I will exist without all this, his immediate answer was no, I cannot. I cannot live without this. I cannot. And then immediately on the spot, everything disappeared. And he started regretting. He said, what did I do? How fool I am. I was there. He was there. You know, and he became really, really. He said, I'm still crying. He said, still, at least 2-3 times a day, I'm crying when I remember this. And when I remember about my foolishness and my foolish rejection of him, and of his desire to take all my anarthas with me. And basically, this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. He says, you develop this very deep anarthas, and if you are confronted deeply inside with yourself and with what you want, you will discover that you will not want to leave all this anarthas and to give it up. But luckily for us, there is the science of spiritual sound about which Prabhupada is speaking and about which Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also speaking. There is a science of spiritual sound which gives us some hope. Ultimately, the situation, our situation in the material world is hopeless. As soon as you get entangled into this machine, into this mechanism of material world, you get entangled and that's it. You're bound. You're a slave of this material world. You're a slave of the material desires. You will do it again and again and again. But there is a very interesting and subtle and important science how to change this. And there is a mistakes which we do in practicing the spiritual science, which deprives us the effects or results of the spiritual science, how to reverse this. And this will be the topic of my tomorrow's little presentation, whatever little I can do. Basically, this is what I wanted to say today, and that there is this sound, or material sound, which brought us here and which is keeping us here, which makes us entangled into this material world. And the extent of this entanglement is extremely deep. We should not underestimate this. The roots of this entanglement are extremely deep within our heart, within our desires. And as much as we don't hear or we don't see, don't understand these three parts of the speech about which Rig Veda is talking, as much we don't really realize or understand the depths of our material desires, which keep us here. So how to do this, how to disentangle yourself, and how to use this spiritual science of the sound, how to reverse this process, will be the subject matter of tomorrow's little talk. Again, I'm really sorry because I have to somewhat squeeze the whole presentation into a very short time which I have. But that's basically it for today. I don't know, we probably don't have time for questions. It's too late. Okay.